your bulletin, there are worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities in there and through the announcements. And we do have a few announcements as we get started this morning. Kathy, go right ahead.
Good morning on this beautiful Palm Sunday. My name is Kathy Wakeman, and I am serving currently as a spiritual gifts coordinator. That means my job is to connect all of your talents with the ministries of our church that need them. So we've got talent here at GPC, and I'm not just talking musical talent, and I'm not just talking, you know, painters. I'm talking everything. We have lawnmowers, we have ushers, we have people who decorate the church. There's just so many ways that you can share your gifts and help out. We have so far received 60 surveys, which is pretty good, but we have a couple more weeks. We'd love to have you make sure you turn in your survey. There will be one in the Harbinger also, if you didn't get one yet. And there is also one on the website. So I look forward to getting your survey. And don't worry, we're going to be contacting each and every one of you to let you know that we've got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Peter.
Good morning, Peter Derry. First spiritual journey will be on April 13th, 7 o'clock at the YMCA, and it's on spirituality. We have a core value of spirituality and spiritual growth. So what is it we're talking about when we talk? The dog has the right answer. What is it we're talking about? Let's get a definition that we can all use so that we can grow our spirituality internally, within the Gates Presbyterian community, and outside. Thanks.
Thank you.
Tickets are on sale today, $1 apiece, $2 per family. Thanks.
Thank you.
Morning, everyone. Matt DeRosia. This year, we're trying to do a bit of a reboot for the men's softball team. In the last several years, we've had just a few GPCers play, and we've had some, you know, gentlemen from not necessarily in the church to fill the league. So we're making an attempt to have this more of a Gates-centered team. So if anybody's interested, we have a couple weeks to get the sign up. I think April 4th is when we have to decide if we'll have enough guys to play. Tuesday nights, 6:30. Pretty much a lot of the games are here, so there's not a whole lot of travel involved. See Todd, Pim, or myself if you're interested. Like I said, we'd like to see if we can field the team of GPCers this year. Thanks.
Thank you. They'll let just anyone make an announcement now. Jeez Louise. Thank you, man. All right. This morning we are celebrating Palm Sunday, and during the processional opening hymn, I would encourage you all, as we are singing, to carefully, without, you know, poking your neighbor in the eye, wave our palms as the children process in this morning. And this coming Holy Week, there are many opportunities for our community and the entire community to gather in times of worship. On Wednesday night at 6:30 in the Junior High Lounge, come and hear the entire Holy Week story as we read it in community. On Thursday, Maundy Thursday, and Good Friday at 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary, you are welcome. Jim Mossgrabber does this amazing job of integrating dramatic readings and song and the celebration of communion. And families, if you have not had a chance to come and worship together during Holy Week, I especially invite you. Maundy Thursday is one of those services that everyone is especially welcome to come and experience the Holy Week story. And then Easter Sunday, you are welcome to join us bright and early. We're going to be in the Memorial Garden at 6:45 for sunrise service and 10 a.m. right here for traditional service. And our Easter celebrations don't end there. The first Sunday after Easter, that first Sunday in April, we will have a cantata, Alleluia Through the Ages. Lots of great music on that Sunday. So please join us. And every Sunday during Lent, we've had an opportunity to hear from GPCers and share about our mission efforts here that have gone with our Lent theme, Welcome Home. And this morning, as we are collecting the One Great Hour of Sharing, we have a video to offer as the moment for mission.
He loves to help others. It's part of his everyday life. Nothing makes him happier than taking an hour out of his day to give to someone in need. That's why when he hears a disaster has happened, he wants to be the first to help out, even if he can't go himself. Like when a tornado hits the Midwest and thousands of lives are devastated, one great hour of sharing shines a ray of hope with the help of people who give. Like Mark, we can send specially trained experts, supplies, and support to put a community back on its feet again. But it all starts with a decision to give. Will you give to One Great Hour?
This morning we are collecting the One Great Hour of sharing, so please give generously. And now let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire beings to worship our holy God. Please stand as you are comfortable and able for the call to worship. Open the gates.
Love has come home. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of our God. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.
Open the gates.
The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone.
Open the gates. Open the gates.
Give thanks to God. God's steadfast love endures forever.
Open the gates.
Love has come home.
Thank you.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. Loving God, we have journeyed through the long season of Lent in hopes of experiencing your welcome. Today, Jesus enters Jerusalem as a sovereign, but the week ahead will bring torture and trial. God, we know there are times when we have betrayed you, denied you, and turned away from you. We recall the times when we have behaved like the crowd that shouts their praise today, but will shout, "Crucify him," later this week. We humbly ask your forgiveness. Amen. In the powerful events of Jesus' passion and death, God demonstrates that there are no limits to the love God has for us, no matter what we do. Remember the examples of love that Jesus gives, and be free from your sins. Thanks be to God.
Some safety goggles with those palms. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so too.
All right, if you guys want to come down and grab your fish banks, if your families have them, make sure you bring them with you up, and all the children are welcome to come up
forward now. Whether they have their banks or not, it's all right. All are welcome. Come on over. Come on over. Come over here. Come on over. Come on over. Great job, friends. Okay, can we put our palms down so they're not used as weapons? That would be great. Thank you. Take a seat. So, take a look at our house. It looks pretty incredible, doesn't it? What are some of the parts that have gone up on this house? Do you remember what's gone up? The door, yep.
The window.
Oh, yes. The roof, let's see, what are we missing? William? The hole in the roof, that was an important part of the story last week. The door, and don't forget about the foundation here. It's got to sit on something. The walls and our walls of food. Well, you know what? This week, Mr. Hadley did not add anything to this exceptional house because it's our turn, okay? So did you guys bring your hammers? No? What about your drills? Does anyone have a table saw in their pocket? No? Man, didn't get out of the house with your table saw. So I know you've got some palms, but some of you have something else in your hand. What is it that you have? Let me hear them. Oh, those fish banks. So this morning, thank you all. That's great musical accompaniment. We are going to add one more part of the house. We are going to add our fish. What? That seems kind of silly, doesn't it? Have you ever heard of anyone who builds a house with fish? That would be awfully smelly after a while, I think. But stay with me here. Oh, inside of your wonderful fish tank, you all have spent Lent putting your extra change and your dollars in there to help with the one great hour of sharing. And part of what the one great hour of sharing does is when a home like this has been destroyed by a hurricane or a tornado, a flood, or some other kind of natural disaster, the money in your fish banks helps to rebuild houses so that everyone can have a home again. Pretty incredible that we can build a house with fish. Hey, would you all pray with me? And then we're going to put the fish in the house, okay? Dear God, thank you for always welcoming us home. May these fish help rebuild the homes of others. Amen. Awesome. Okay, so why don't you carefully set your fish inside the house, or if you want to set it outside the house, but somewhere around there. Perfect. And then you guys can head to Sunday school. You want to go this way today? Look at that, something different. Good job. Thank you. Right. Hi, friends. Hi, friends. I'm glad you're here this morning. Good morning. Go to Sunday school? All right, we've got some floppy fish in there.
Let us build a house where love can dwell and all can stay.
Our first scripture reading comes from Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteousness shall enter here. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's day. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will extol you. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Our second reading of the word this morning comes from the Gospels. As Luke tells us about Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Hear the word of the Lord. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it. Bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you untying it, just say this, the Lord needs it. So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They said, the Lord needs it. And then they brought it to Jesus. And after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. And he was now approaching the path down the Mount of Olives. The whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power they had seen, crying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, Teacher, order your disciples to stop. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. Our theme this Lent, Welcome Home, was quite unique for this season. We watched a house being built before our eyes, thanks again to Keith Hadley for great work. And with each part of this house, we learned a verse of a new-to-us hymn, Let Us Build a House. A bit shaky at first, but I think that we've really got it now. It sounded wonderful this morning. And then following the offering every Sunday, we've sung about God's welcome for all people. And that message was also reflected through the Moments for Mission when we learned about all the various ways GPC works alongside those in Rochester and throughout the world to provide housing and welcome to those living on the margins of society. Exploring this theme over the past 5 weeks, we've confirmed something many of us already knew, that there is something extremely evocative and powerful and stirring about this idea of home. The Bible stories prolifically capture this sentiment from the very beginning, when Adam and Eve are cast out from the only home that they've ever known, when Abram is called to leave his country, his people, his family, to go to the land that the Holy One will show him. And then the Israelites escape the bondage of their home in Egypt to the wanderings in the wilderness. But home in the promised land is a distant memory, according to the harsh words of the prophets to a people in exile. The Babylonians had defeated the nation, devastated their holy city, Jerusalem, leveled God's temple, and driven the people across the desert to live in captivity as exiles. And there the people,
God's people longed to go home. They remembered how it used to be at home in Jerusalem. They sang the old songs from home, so many that we have captured in the book of Psalms. And they told the old stories to their children over and over again so that they would never forget what home felt like in their hearts. And eventually, we know that they do return home to Jerusalem. But it's not quite how they remember it. You see, in the minds and hearts of the people, this place in Judah, the city of David, built on the Mount of Zion, capital of the nations, in this place is where the history, the culture, the hope of a people dwells. But more importantly than all that, Jerusalem is home to the temple, where the Israelite people believed the living God dwells. Now, this place, the temple, is not only the mediated presence of God, but it is also where God's forgiveness comes to the people. It was the only place of sacrifice, and for them, sacrifice meant forgiveness and salvation. And so Jerusalem is where the people came over and over and over again on pilgrimages. They came home to experience the presence of God. And that is what all the crowds have gathered for this morning in our story. The pilgrimage, the celebration, the Passover. Now, even though Jerusalem continues to be the focal point of everything that the Jewish people were, things have changed. Once the threats on their home came from Babylon, and then Persia and Syria, just to name a few. But now, this morning in our story, it's the Roman Empire that has moved into town. And as with most political occupations, the line between empire and those in religious power get a little bit fuzzy, to say the least. What has the looks and feel of a homecoming parade for Jesus this morning is a bit more complicated than that. Then again, home is always a bit more complicated than our nostalgia would like it to be, isn't it? Technically, home for Jesus are the pastoral rolling hills with their grazing flocks in Nazareth, in Galilee. He was born a 30-hour walk to the south in Bethlehem, spent time as a refugee in Egypt when he was small, but eventually most of his childhood and years in ministry, though a bit nomadically around those picturesque seaside fishing villages on the Sea of Galilee. But Jesus is never far from home. And Jesus spoke a lot about home. But when he did not mention Nazareth or Bethlehem or even Jerusalem. Home for Jesus wasn't so much a physical place, the place where he grew up or the place he was hoping to build. Home, as Jesus believed, is where we are created to live. Home is where we know who we are, whose we are, and that we are fully and unconditionally loved. For Jesus, that is home. And home isn't just in one place. Home is wherever we experience the love of God. For Jesus, that wasn't just Jerusalem. And for us today, it isn't just the church, even though we get a little confused about that sometimes. I was recently at a church here in town where above the doors, you walk in and there are the words, "Welcome home." We do sometimes think church is home, but I agree with one author who writes pretty accurately that the place you have, that church is the place where you have found your long lost brothers and sisters who are as confused about home as you are. Yes, here we gather to sing of our longings for home. Every Sunday we confess how lost we are in our search for home. Here we do pray for ourselves and for each other and for the world to experience home. Yes, here we are fed from the table that sustains us on our journey to find home. And here is where we want our children and our grandchildren to know that they aren't alone in their search for home. And there's no doubt that here at Gates Presbyterian Church, you will experience the home of God's love in this community through worship and hospitality, mission and spiritual growth. But this building is not our home. Church is where we come together to renew our longings and fumble around together for our true home in God's love. Throughout Jesus' life and ministry, in his preaching and teaching, he revealed an alternative to any one place being where we are welcomed home in God's love. Time and time again, the disciples were just as confused as we can be. They asked him, "Jesus, where do you live? Where do you dwell? Where are you from? Where are you going, Jesus?" The disciples think it has something to do with geography, with a place in time and space, and they want to be there with him. And when Jesus begins to describe himself as the temple of God, instead of Jerusalem, a place that would be destroyed and come back to life, the people, including the disciples, were totally confused. But he persisted again and again. He attempted to make known that he was the new meeting place with God, that God's love was being revealed in and through him. So this morning, Jesus confronts our assumptions and those of the entire crowd who are laying down their cloaks by challenging these notions of what we believe and what we think home is all about, if it can be confined to one place. And there he is, entering the one place the Israelites have called home for so long, Jerusalem. And this morning we celebrate this snapshot, this just moment in time where the crowds, I believe, truly recognize what Jesus is doing. Riding along on a colt of all things in the very manner the prophet Zechariah had predicted that the Messiah would come, humble and lowly as he, riding on a donkey. In this moment, the crowd saw and they recognized immediately all that Jesus had been teaching and preaching and living for these last 3 years, that here, what they had been searching for, this moment of redemption and salvation, their home was here, not in Jerusalem, but riding on a donkey. And in this moment, they celebrate that God's love welcomes all, especially those that the world and political empires, the religious authorities of the time, and unfortunately, frequently even those in the church today who are excluded, the poor, the outcast, the marginalized. God's love welcomes all. And in a few days, Jesus will ask his disciples around a table to remember that no matter who they are, wherever they are, how far they think that they have wandered from home, nothing separates them from the love of God. And just when we've forgotten those promises, or for ourselves have doubted that those promises could not be true, when we are convinced that God's love could never survive the ultimate of all human destruction, death, we will gather in a week and celebrate Easter. And in his resurrection, Jesus reveals that in his love, no matter what, we are always welcome home. Thanks be to God.
Bring all that we are to God in prayer. If you have a prayer of joy, a prayer of concern that you would like to share aloud, you may raise your hand and then stand. stand if you are able and make sure you speak into the microphone so we can hear you.
Jeannie Bauman, asking for prayers this morning for my dad. He was taken to Rochester General early this morning and been diagnosed with pneumonia.
Prayers for your dad,
Jeannie. Hi, I'm Penny Ritz. Many of you have been praying for my husband, William Ritz, Bill. We've had lots and lots of prayers around, but Bill has entered hospice at Highland, and I talked to the doctor this morning, and his journey to the Lord will be soon. So I do ask for your continued prayers, and thank you for all you've done.
Many continued prayers, Penny, for you and for Bill and the family. Go ahead.
Kate Stanford. I wanted to thank everybody for your prayers for my friend Paul. He did pass. His funeral was this week. And I wanted to just let you know a little bit about this man that you've prayed for. His brother, during his funeral, shared a really profound statement. All of us have a birth date and an end date, and in between is the dash. And Paul did more in 53 years with his dash than some people do in 100. He woke up every morning and greeted his wife with "Good morning, princess," and thanked her every evening before bed for being with him. When he would meet somebody, the first thing out of his mouth would be, "Is there anything I can pray for you today?" Even at his hospice bed on his last day, that was the thing out of his mouth, "Is there anything I can do to pray for you?" So I want to thank you all for keeping them in your prayers, and that it was an honor to have known him in my life.
Continued prayers for his family and all of those who knew and loved him.
Nancy Hasenlop, I'm reading this from Mary Beth McKenzie. She sent me a text about her mom, Joan Kent. The mom was diagnosed with breast cancer 2 weeks ago, and they're supposed to see a surgeon on Thursday, but she's developed debilitating pain. So now mom is in the hospital, which she's a little confused. So prayers for the mom who's supposed to see the surgeon, but they're not sure what's going on, and prayers for Mary Beth, who's really struggling with a lot of care that her mom needs.
Polly Moore, I would just like to ask for prayers for Iowa. He's been released from Guiding Eyes for the Blind and the autism program, but he's going to the Connecticut State Police. They're going to try a new career path with him. So prayers that he succeeds at this one. And I just would like to, again, thank everybody for their acceptance of the dogs when they're here. We really appreciate it.
Iowa keeps teaching us all the life lessons we need. Some of us require more than one career path, so we'll continue to pray for Iowa, too.
Anna Burley, I also want to thank for the prayers. I've spent the last a little bit more than a month in Kentucky with my friend Larry, who had some cancer surgery. He's doing quite well. He'll be doing some follow-up radiation and chemo, and I'll be here for a while, but I'm going back to help him again. Thanks for your prayers. We felt them.
Good. And continued prayers for his healing.
Paula Sousa. I ask for prayers for Alex Barbado. She's the director of the RFA Flute Choir. There's something going on with her thyroid. They're not certain exactly what, but she's been unable to play because her throat hurts too much. And this week she's lost feeling in her arms and her legs. And they really just don't know what's going on. So prayers for Alex, please.
Prayers for her healing.
Velta Rushan, I just want to share a joy. Last weekend, I had the privilege of traveling to New York City to be with my aunt, who was celebrating her 90th birthday. And prior to going, I received a prayer shawl from this church, and I presented it to her. And let me tell you, when we say that our joys and our love passes the walls of this church, she felt it. She was so honored to have received that prayer shawl from Gates Presbyterian Church. So on behalf of her, I thank you all very much.
Amen. Thank you.
one other here.
Carrie Dykes, just prayers of safe travel for our daughter Samantha, who will be going to Paris on Friday and returning on April 2nd. Thank you.
For Samantha and all those who are traveling over spring break, may God's blessings go with you. And I also got an email this morning, prayers for Don Bernhardt, who suffered a stroke last night and is at Unity, so prayers for Don and the entire family. Let us continue our time of prayer. Welcome, O God. We long to greet you. You are the triumph and the glory, the open gate and rejected cornerstone. We are thrilled to be near you. We sing your praises with wild emotion and waving palms, with great eagerness and joyful shouts. Holy God, we welcome you among us, grateful that you are more powerful than we are, glad that you bring justice, awed that indeed you know the heart of God. You are the Holy One, our delight, our pleasure, our home. Bless us, save us, deliver us. As Holy Week begins, we welcome you among us with quiet questions and doubts, reluctant to see our complicity in your cross, hesitant to hold our guilt, and horrified that we are not the heroes of your story. You are the Holy One, our exposing truth, our righteous judge, and we bend at your feet in humility and service. Bless us. Save us. Deliver us. Christ our Savior, we confess that you are Lord. Walk with us this week, and in all our days, we pray, even as we walk with you in faith from parades of praise to the landscapes of death. We are thrilled to be near you. You are the testimony on our tongues, the hope of our trials, the home of love we've long been searching for. We offer these prayers, all those that were shared aloud this morning, and those deepest prayers that only our hearts can contain. And we offer it, praying together, saying the prayer your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We worship an abundant God who has blessed us so richly, and we offer back to God a portion of that abundance in love and in trust. This morning, let us receive the offering.
Lord Jesus Christ, in your gifts to us, you have provided us a way to live and to serve you. In both your triumph and your suffering, you deserve our praise. Through the gifts we now offer, we express our longing to serve and to follow wherever you go. Amen.
Welcomed home by the love of God, the grace that we experience in Jesus Christ our Lord, and in the courage of the Holy Spirit to keep at it each and every day. Amen.
Thank you. an